There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
A subject I don't think we've covered over on The Business Breakfast. We're talking about salt. We've been going for 12 years, but never talked about salt. Talking to a company now that have a very big presence in Dubai's kitchen, Akzo Nobel. You might recognize the company as a paint company. They bought ICI some years ago, possibly their best-known paint brand, Dulux, Hammerite, International Paints. We're pleased to have with us in the studio, though, Khadija Nadi, Global Sales Manager, Salt Specialties at Akzo Nobel. Great title. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Now, that preamble, I think, is a good example of the diverse range of your company's products. But salt has been a major part of your business since the First World War, which I was very surprised to read last night doing the research. Yeah. The company's salt brand is Nezo, N-E-Z-O. It's available on Dubai supermarket shelves. What's the value of your business locally to start with and then globally?
Well, the value of our business is pretty much, it's really linked to helping the consumer in using the right salt in the right quantity for the right dish. So this is our main value, guiding our consumer and bringing this this pinch of great taste to every day's meal.
How much is this value in terms of money? What is your turnover here in the UAE?
Well, if you look in terms of market share, more specifically, we have about 50% market share for Nezo in the GCC, in countries like the UAE, but also in Bahrain, in Oman, and here in the region.
And what is the value of that 50% share?
Well, it would be average. Well, I wouldn't know exactly in detail, to be pretty honest, exactly, but we talk about several millions of euros.
Of US dollars?
Of euros or US dollars.
Of euros. Yeah, and exactly. What about globally? What is the sort of value of the salt market globally?
If you look in the salt market is a pretty volume-driven business. So we talk about a market, salt as a whole, of 300 million tons of salt worldwide for the salt market as a whole. But but big part of it goes into the chemical market, goes into a lot of different applications, and, well, small part of it goes into the food market, which is also containing retail. So if you would stay, for the region here, the GCC, were about 18 million of tons of salt used.
The market is growing globally. It's a global figure by about 2% a year. Expected to be, as you said, 300 million tons. Expected to be 335 by 2020. Yep. Valued at just over $14 billion. And I mentioned the retail side there, but you have several vertical in the UAE simply for salt. I mean, you've got food, pharma, agriculture, water treatment.
Yep.
Is retail the biggest side here?
No, if you look at it, well, first of all, the biggest size is goes into the chemical market. And then this would be 60% of those 300 million tons, more or less. Then 40% of that is going into what we call the specialties market. And in there, 10% would go into the food and retail. So food, processed food, or retail salt. 10% would go into the agricultural market. And then only 1 to 2% would go into the pharmaceutical market.
Looking at the amount of salt that we consume, it's interesting. We had the guys from Philip Morris Cigarette Company in yesterday, and they have a similar, I guess, business problem in that they are trying to sell something that globally the world is being told to consume less of. We're all being told to consume less salt in our diets. How do you balance that? The fact that, like anybody working for a big company, you've got targets and sales targets, with the fact that to have a healthy diet, we and our children should be eating less salt.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we're not anyhow promoting the fact to eat more salt. So it's not about too much salt, but it's also not about too little. So you're here in a country where you sweat a lot, so temperature is high, so you need salt. So if you don't have any salt, you need that mineral to avoid, you know, low blood pressure. So it's really about the balance you need. So it's not about not too little, not too much. This is really why we focus on having the right salt for the right in the right quantity for the right dish.
Hey, what are the buying impulses when we buy salt at the supermarket? I mean, is there much marketing difference between the products apart from maybe sodium content?
Well, if you look first of all, how we buy salt is when we launch this new brand identity, we work with a focus group, and we realize that people buy salt in an out-of-pilot mode, so they don't really think about it when they buy salt. So now you're talking already in the category, but really people just buy salt in an out-of-pilot mode. So that is the first thing we saw in that study. And well, yes, you have differences. You have a low sodium salt. You also have a big difference with the grain sizes.
I suppose you get the chunkier bits of salt, don't you? I mean, if people are buying salt in pilot mode, it must be a very difficult marketing task for you to try and persuade people to change. Because, you know, if you go along a supermarket in pilot mode, you just take off what you're used to, really.
Absolutely.
So how do you persuade people to actually change brands?
Well, when we did that focus group, we learned two things. One of the interesting things was that we saw that many people of that focus group wrote, we asked them, one of the first questions we asked them was, can you make a shopping list, kind of standard shopping list? And 3 people out of the 10 of those women wrote Nizo instead of salt. So also the brand Nizo is salt is something that we know. So the brand name is very strong. Then the second thing we see is people want to learn more about salt, which salt they should use, when, in which application. And this is where the new brand identity helps, because we really help consumers to navigate into this category. If you look, for example, salt. Before I used to work for Akzo Nobel, my mom always used to tell me you should use coarse salt for fish when you cook fish. And well, one day I was helping her, and then I put some fine salt on it. She was really mad. No, Khadija, you should really use coarse salt. And I realized then, when starting within Akzo Nobel, that grain size plays a big role into the taste of salt. So it is really important to realize that, well, coarser salt can be used for certain applications, and a finer salt is easier when you dissolve it into water. And that helps also to not consume too much or too little, because you really add just the little pinch that you need to your dish.
How old is your salt?
Well, this year we celebrate 100 years of salt.
But in terms of the salt that I'm holding now in my hand, these little grains, which I presume have a history of being formed by nature, are they 10 years old, hundreds of years old, thousands of years old?
No, it's 2 years. Always we have a 2 years shelf life. But of course, the shelf life of salt is much higher.
Because this is my question. I'm looking at the bottom of your salt and it says it expires in August. And I always think of salt as being the sort of thing that lasts forever.
Yeah. You've got to have an expiry date.
It is obliged.
You?
It is EU legislation.
It's a legal
thing. We manufacture everything in Holland, and then you need to have an expiry date on it.
I mean, to sort of labour this point a bit, Brandis, I mean, I used to watch salt being farmed by donkey carts at the Aliki Lake by Larnaca Airport in Cyprus in the summer when the lake had evaporated and left the salt behind. I've been watching salt being harvested in Thailand in almost the same way, surface evaporation. But Akzo Nobel salt is collected in a totally different way. Talk us through that process, because I think that helps to sort of illustrate the age.
Well, if you think about it in a simple way, you have layers under. So we do produce our salt in Holland, and you have under the sea, you have layers of salt, ancient sea salt that is there. So what we do is we take the salt out, we do crystallize it, we do refine it, and dry it. And then at the end, sieve it into different fractions and different grain sizes.
But I think the difference is that instead of being a sort of surface evaporation, yours is an underground deposit created millions of years ago.
Absolutely.
By the evaporation of the Sextine Sea.
Exactly.
Which is millions of year old salt.
I know, which is how I'm wondering that it's going to expire in August.
Yeah, this is the beauty of legislation, I guess.
Peak salt. When are we going to run out of salt?
Sorry?
Peak salt. We talk about peak oil. When will the world run out of oil? Any danger of reaching peak salt?
We have enough for... this was one of the first questions I asked when I started in this business. Do we have enough for the coming years? We have enough for centuries.
As long as you've got seawater, you'll always be able to produce salt, won't you?
Well, the layers is you just have to go a bit deeper, but I would say this is really... Until we get there, we're good.
I mean, Akzo Nobel, obviously a fascinating company. Thank you very much indeed for coming in to talk to us about salt. Khadija Nadi, Global Sales Manager for Salt Specialties at Akzo Nobel. Thank you.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you very much for having me here.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.